Today, we continue with lesson number 34 in our study of Mishnayos Meseches Chulin. Today, we will learn the 10th Perek, the 3rd and 4th Mishnah, Perek Yud, Mishnah Gimel, and Mishnah Dalet, and will Lemirtz Hashem complete the 10th Perek. We're continuing with the Halachos of the Zroa Halachayayim Bahakeva, the three parts of the animal, which are Matnos Kohuna, which are supposed to be given to the Kohen. And we've learned various halachos about it already. One that we learned is that if a person possesses a Bechor Balmum, a firstborn animal, firstborn calf, for example, which has become a balmum, which is no longer fit to be a korban as a bechor, and the halacha is that a bechor balmum can be shechted and eaten anywhere. But we also learned that of a bechor balmum is exempt from the matonos kohuna of a zroa v'halchoyayim v'hakevo. That the owner of this animal, which is a Bechor Balmum, need not give the Zroa al Chayayim Vakeva to the Kohen. Fine. But suppose the Mishnah says, Mishnah Gimel, Bechor Shenisorav B'meyo. This Bechor Balmum, this calf, became mixed up in a whole herd of calves, 100 calves. Now one might wonder, how can it become mixed up? Isn't it identifiable by the fact that it has a mum? Look around among the 100 calves and see which one has this particular mum. So Tosfos points out an interesting scenario that all the animals have the same mum as this Bechor Balmum. The other animals are not Bechorim. So they are obligated. One is obligated to take from them this Zroa L'Chayayim V'Hakeva. But this particular balmum is a Bechor balmum. So what do you do? So the Mishnah says, Bizman shemeyo shochatines kulon. If these 100 animals belong to 100 different people, there are 100 different people shechting these 100 animals, meaning each animal belongs to a different person. Potrenes kulon, so every one of the 100 people is exempt from giving hazroa v'hal choyayim v'hal kevo. Because each and every person can say to the Kohen, Mr. Kohen, the animal that I have is a Bechor Balmum, and you're not entitled to hazroa v'hal choyayim v'hal kevo. And the Kohen has no option. He can't prove, unless he can prove which animal is indeed the Bechor, the non-Bechor Balmum. Or if he can prove which animal is the Bechor Balmum, he's entitled to his Rav Al-Chayayim from the others. However, if Echot Shochet is Kulon, if these 100 animals all belong to one person, he would like to shecht all 100 animals in his factory for Shechita, and among them is a Bechor Balmum. But we don't know which one. So potrin lo echot. So we exempt one, but only one of the 100 from Zrav al-Chayayim v'keva. And the other 99, he has to give Zrav al-Chayayim v'keva. That's how we resolve the suffix. Remember, there's no special kedusha, there's no special sanctity to the Zrav al-Chayayim v'keva. It's simply meat which belongs to the Kohen. So therefore, in a situation such a tarovus, it's perfectly fine to give any zroa v'lachayayim v'akeva to the kohen in a situation where you don't know which animal is exempt and which is mechuyav. So in this case, you give 99 zroa v'lachayayim v'akeva, but one is exempt. Hashochet la'kohen, if a person is shechting a behema of the Kohen, or of a Nochri, or a behema of a Goy, potur min hatonos. Now a Goy, obviously, a person shechts for a Goy, the Goy is not mechuyev a mitzvah, he doesn't owe the Kohen anything. the Kohen himself doesn't owe the group of Kohanim, of his peers, fellow Kohanim, anything, because the Pasuk says with reference is Rav Elchayim, quote, that the Kohanim are entitled as Rav Elchayim from the Am, from the general people, from the nation, but not from the Kohanim. The Gemara explains here, by the way, that this phrase is teaching us that the Kohen, I mean, I have a farm with some cows on it, you have a farm with some cows on it, and Shmerel has a farm with some cows on it. And we each give our cows to Mr. Shoichet to shecht for us. The Kohen can tell Mr. Shoichet, I don't want to wait for Weinreb and Jones and Goldberg to give me this Rav Elchayim Vakeva. You're shechting this animal. Take out this Rav Elchayim Vakeva and give it to me. So our Mishnah is telling us that indeed the Kohen has that right to do that. And the Shochet, the Tabuch, cannot say, wait, I'm not giving you anything. I'm giving it all to Weinreb and Feldman and Goldberg and Jones. And let them give it to you. No. This we learned from the Pasuk, Meyes Zovchei HaZevach, the Zoveach, the Shochet, has to give it on behalf of the owner of the animal to the Kohen. The Mishnah continues, if a Yisrael, a non-Kohen, has a behemoth, but it is owned in partnership with someone who is exempt from Zorah v'Alchayim v'Akeva. Namely, I have a cow, and I own it in partnership with Mr. Kohen, or I own it in partnership with Mr. Goy. In either case, that partnership with a person who is not mechuyav in these matans kuhuna of Zorah v'Chaim v'Keva exempts me, the Yisroel, the non-Kohen, from giving this Zorah v'Chaim v'Keva from this animal. So fine. V'hamishtatei fimohem tzorech sheyirshom. But what has to be done is I have to somehow put some symbol, some identifying mark on the behemoth, so people will know that this is owned in partnership with a Kohen or a Goy, and they shouldn't think that I own it entirely and I'm keeping the Matanos for myself, thereby stealing from the Kohen. V'yim Omar, if a Kohen says to a Yisrael, Chutz min ha-Matanos, the Kohen says to the Yisrael, I'm selling you an animal, but I'm not selling you the Matanos. In that case, potur min ha-matanos. The Yisrael is exempt from the matanos because the matanos don't belong to him. He never bought them. And he does not have to give the Kohen the value of the Zorah v'Chayayim v'Akeva. Omar, suppose the Yisrael says to a shochet, a butcher. In the time of Chazal, the butcher and the shochet were one and the same person. So we use the word tabuch, butcher, to mean the shochet slash butcher. Suppose the Yisrael says, I go to the butcher store and I say, Mechor li b'nei me'eho shel poro. Give me the intestines of this cow. Sell it to me. This cow which you shechted. V'hoyu bohen matonos. Among the intestines is the keva. Keva is the lowermost stomach and it's sold as part of the intestines. So if I bought the ma'ayim, so I know what I'm buying. I'm buying the ma'ayim plus the keva. And I know full well as a lokeach, as a buyer, that I have to give some of what I just bought to the Kohen. So no stone la Kohen. I have to give this keva to the Kohen. Ve'eino menake lo min hadomim. I can't ask for a refund from the mocher. Because the mocher come and say, look, I sold you the whole package. You bought the whole package, knowing full well that in that package was a keva, which you have to give to a Kohen. And you gave me $10 for the whole package, and that's what I'm charging you, and that's what you're paying. I'm not giving you a dollar back because you have to give the keva away. Lokach emenu bamishko. But suppose I, the lokeach, the buyer, the customer, goes into a butcher store and buys 10 pounds of intestines of a cow, all right? So, for $10, right? So, in such a case, I'm buying a dollar a pound. And if you threw in, you, Mr. Butcher, threw in the keva as part of that, Then, nosnon la kohen, I have to give that keva to the kohen. Umenakelo min hadomim. And I don't have to pay you $10. I only have to pay you $9 because I bought $10 worth of meayim, of intestines of the cow, expecting to get $10 worth, but I only got $9 worth. So you owe me a buck. You owe me a dollar. That's the meaning of menakelo es hadomim. Fine. The Mishnah continues now. Mishnah Dalet. Ger shenisgayer. Ger shenisgayar. V'hoysalo poro. Have a ger who had a cow. Now he's a ger tzedek. Today is Monday, 4 p.m. And he has his cow. Nishchato ad shelo nisgayar. Supposedly, gerus took place today at 3 p.m. At 3 p.m., the guy, he had his bris milah, he went to the mikveh, and he was pronounced a kosher ger tzedek. Fine? At 3 p.m. So when was this animal shechted? If it was shechted before 3 p.m., before it became a ger, he was still a goy at the time of the shechita, potter is exempt from hazrov al-chayayim va'akeva. Mishen is gayer chayav. However, once it's already 3 p.m., and the Ger Tzedek is a full Jew, and then it's shechted, then his parah is shechted, his cow is shechted, then, of course, he's obligated in the mitzvah of Matnas Kohuna. Sofek, suppose we don't know. His gerus took place at 3 o'clock. The shochet doesn't know. I don't remember. Maybe I shechted it at 2 o'clock when he was still a goy. Maybe I shechted it at 4 o'clock when he was already a Jew. I don't know. So potter, the Ger, is exempt. It's incumbent upon the Kohen, who's trying to get these matonos. He is the motzi, he is the plaintiff, he's complaining and wants to get it. He has to bring proof as to when the shechita took place. The Mishnah concludes by identifying these three body parts. Now the keva doesn't need any special identification. It's the innermost stomach of the cow, and everyone knows this is the keva. However, what about the zroa? Exactly what part of the foreleg, the right foreleg or hand of the animal is considered the zroa? So the Mishnah says, min haperek shel arkova ad kaf shel yad, from the lower arkova, the lower joint, until the entire upper joint, the kaf shel yad, which would include the entire bone of the animal from just above its ankle all the way up to its thigh, which would include the shok and the kulis of the animal, the front right shok and kulis of the animal. V'hu shel nozir, says the Mishnah. We learn in Parshas Noso that in the process of ending one's Nazirus, a korban is brought, and the Pasuk says, with reference to that korban, v'lokach ha-kohen es hazroa b'shelo min ho'ayil, that the kohen takes the cooked zroa. So that zroa there is defined as the same zroa here. It's the front right foreleg of the animal, from the arkova, from the lower arkova, from above the ankle, all the way up until its hip and socket, including the kulis and the shok. Uchenegdo boregel, shok. That's those same anatomical parts. If you don't look at the front right leg or the hand of the animal, but rather you look at the hind right leg of the animal, the foot of the animal, that is called the shok. We know that for a korban shlomim, the owner of the korban shlomim gives the kohen the chozer, the chest bone, and the shok. So our Mishnah is teaching us exactly where the shok is. The shok is from the shok, which is a matonas kohuna, which is a matonas kohuna from a korban shlomim, is identified as from just above the ankle till all the way up the leg of the animal, what is anatomically called the shok, plus the kulis bone. So says the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yehuda Omer shok min haperek shel arkova ad sovech shel regel. Rabbi Yehuda says no, that with reference to the shok, which is one of the gifts given to the Kohen from the Korban Shlomim, you do not give practically the whole length of the leg, but only from just above the ankle until the knee of the animal, until the knee, the joint which connects the middle section of the bone to the upper section. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shok, which is given by the Shlomim, only contains the middle bone of the hind leg of the animal, that which is called technically the shok, and does not include the kulis bone. However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, but rather the shok or the Korban Shlomim is more than just technically the shok, but it extends all the way up and it includes the kulis bone. So that's the zroa. What about the lechi, the jawbone? A zehu lechi, which is the lechi which belongs to the Kohen. Min haperek shel lechi, from the joint, meaning the lower jaw, where it is connected to the skull, just below the temple, and below, and down, the whole lower jaw. Ad piko shel gageres, until that point in the trachea, which is shaped like a spool, or like a ball, which is called the pico shel gargeres. Pico is a word which is used to define the round spool which you find in a primitive spinning wheel, the type of spinning wheel which was used in the times of Chazal. So that's the meaning of the word pika. Here it's used, the term is borrowed from the process of spinning wool to define a point in the gargeres, in the kone, in the trachea, in the windpipe. That's the point, how low down you go when you take out the jawbone of the animal and give it to the Kohen. That's called the lechi. And so we have completed the fourth Mishnah of the 10th Perek. In the process, we have concluded the 10th Perek. And in the process, we have concluded lesson number 34.